We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Go Huskies podcast is presented by Air Van Moving, the official mover of Husky Athletics and your next move.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
And then as we watch the film, there's still a ton to clean up. There's still a lot of room for growth, a lot of room for development and improvement. And that's what we did yesterday. We went right back to work. Our guys came out to practice, and they're ready to get better. Love the work ethic of this team. And we're excited to see us come out tomorrow on our Tuesday practice and see how much better we can get. With that, I'll take questions.
What stood out the most as far as what you want to clean up coming out of Saturday?
What stood out the most? I think, you know, it comes down to execution against a team that's also really well coached with really good players who also are trying to compete and try to win the football game as well. And, you got to give a lot of credit to our opponent. They did a good, nice job of executing, things against our offense and our defense and our special teams. But it's just cleaning up those details, those little details that can push us over the top and make sure we're winning those battles in all three phases.
This after the game, but just offensively, second half, what do you think changed?
I knew you were coming back to this, Mike.
Well,
I love it.
You told me to. So I have to.
I was seeing if you were going to be on it. I like it. Thanks for coming back to the question. Yeah, so I think the question is, we scored, three touchdowns and three straight possessions, and then kind of what happened in the second half with our offense and how we slowed down a little bit. Well, first was a really good drive, and then penalties set us back, and we ended up having to settle for a field goal. And then after that, we get a big-time turnover, and then we turn right around and we turn the ball over. We fumble the ball, which we don't want to do that. So that obviously stopped a critical drive there where we could really have extended the lead. And then the resuming possessions after that, it came down to us not converting on third down. And that goes, to the prior question of we have to execute better, we have to have better details, and win those one-on-one battles. And Cal did a better job of executing those details in those critical third downs that we weren't able to convert and move the chains. Because we didn't reach the red zone again until overtime. After that, those third downs all got thwarted by Cal's defense, and they got us off the field, and we had to punt.
How do you think Amish did in his first start?
So proud of Amish. So proud of Amish. I'm proud, two guys that I gave, huge props to in our team meeting and in the locker room were Amish Powell and Devin Colt. Two players thrust into starting positions and expected to play like starters, and that's what we expect for everybody. You never know when your number is going to get called. You're always one play away. If you're a backup right now, you're one play away from having to go perform and play at a high level like a starter. And Amish Powell played like a starter, and he's shown it in practice. He's shown it in training camps and spring football that he was willing and able to perform at that level. But you never know how it's going to be when the lights are shining bright. And I thought Mish played a very good football game for us.
Devin's obviously had some frustrating drops the last couple of years. Just how much can a game like Saturday do for his confidence?
Huge confidence booster. We all know what Devin can do. And it has been unfortunate that he's had some glaring drops over the last couple of years. And for him to go out there and not have any drops and make some big-time catches, especially early on in that game, to get our offense going and get our offense in rhythm and put some points on the board was a huge boost, not only for him but for our football team.
Now that your wide receiver room is more healthy, how do you think those guys complement each other on the field?
I've told you guys I'm excited about that room. I am excited that we're almost 100% healthy. I think they all add different things. The beautiful thing is they're all fast. They're all fast and they're hard to cover. And what I really like is Junior Adams, our wide receiver coach, has put a mentality in that room of toughness and grit. And so to say how they complement each other, I just like how competitive they are with each other, and they all want the football, and they're all willing to run that route to open up the route for the next guy. They want to make sure that they're continuing to work to be the best wide receiver unit in our conference. That's what their goal is, and that's what they're trying to do.
Jimmy, you talked after the game about the timeout in the fourth quarter. You didn't want to say the wrong thing to upset the conference, I guess. Did you get any clarification from them on the mistake by the officials, or anything you can add to that?
I got clarification during the game. And I'll just say this: they apologized. The mistake that was made, they immediately said, "Hey, that was our fault. That's on us, and we apologize."
Sorry.
I'll leave it at that.
With Dylan, he had some throwaways in the second half, which obviously is better than making a poor decision. But I'm wondering what you thought in terms of him going through progressions and looking at 2, 3, 4 in terms of his options. How did he do in terms of going through his progressions?
Yeah, no, I think so. Throughout the game, he did a really good job of going through his progressions and getting the ball where we needed to get the ball. And I mean, you guys saw those explosive plays that we had, early in the game, and moving the ball and putting points on the board and those touchdown throws. But there was definitely some plays in the second half that we, starting with me, got to make sure we give him a good plan to go to get the football to an outlet to get positive yards and to take a profit. And unfortunately, we weren't able to do that. Every once in a while, that's always going to happen. That always happens in a game. Hey, they're gonna cover every single route. They're going to cover our check down, and now we need to either scramble with our legs and then get rid of the football so we don't take a sack. But we definitely can't have as many as we had in the second half, those throwaways that you mentioned, Mike. We can't have that. And that's one of the things that we got to get better at.
What was the thought process on the 3rd-and-2 deep shot to Jalen McMillan and your guys' last possession of regulation?
Again, starting with me, we got to get our guys in better position to make the play to move the chains. We needed to move the chains there. And that's on me. And we got to make sure we have a play that's ready to get 2.5 yards to move the chains and keep possession. And so the thought process definitely was we need to move the chains, keep our offense on the field, keep a good drive going so we can go down and win the football game in regulation.
After the game, you guys published a video of your speech to the team. And I think you mentioned that Sean McGrew was just put on the leadership council. I was wondering what he did to earn that standing.
Well, he's done a lot. One of the biggest thing that stands out is, and what we always talk about with our whole team is, there's certain points of the year where we tell guys, hey, this is going to be your role for the team. Now, you may not like it, but you got to continue to work to try to elevate your role. And that's all Sean has done since spring football. Probably wasn't getting the reps that he wanted at running back, but all he did was he just continued to work, and continued to show that he needed to be on the football field. He showed us on special teams. He showed us on offense. Came into work every day with a smile on his face and was willing to put in the work wherever it was needed. So that's one of the biggest reasons why we elevated him to the leadership council. He showed how a teammate should act when maybe you get information in a role that you don't agree with.
Came in the second half for Bookie. How did you see him perform in the second half?
Say it again, start over.
K-Fab came in.
Your mask is always Jack. I can never, you must have like a triple mask on or something. Go ahead.
K-Fab came in the second half for Bookie. Just what did you see from him and how much of a difference did you see Bookie's absence in the second half?
You asked about Bookie?
Yeah. No, on the field in the second half.
No, Bookie, he played well. I mean, he played extremely well. You know, you guys saw a guy a little banged up there. We're hoping to get him back here. Probably will. But yeah, his performance while he was out there, he took another step in his game. Plays good coverage. He's a really good blitzer. He causes problems out there. He's a football player. He's a football player, and his preparation has gotten better every single week. The way he takes notes, the way he communicates information to his teammates, you can tell he's doing his homework, and it's gotten better every week. And I expect it to get even better this week.
You talked about moving the ball on offense. How, playing a team like Oregon State, obviously their offense is really scoring well. How important is it for your offense to stay ahead and maximize each drive they have?
Yeah, I mean, our job, we want to score points, for sure. We want to score points. You're talking about Oregon State's offense, very explosive. You know, Smitty and Lindgren do a heck of a job. They have really good players. Their quarterback's playing really well right now. I think the last three games, they've scored over 40 points a game, very explosive. And, you know, so that's more the role of our defense. Our defense has got to make sure we're trying to limit them. And then, of course, on offense, I mean, we want to be effective and efficient and move the ball and score points as well. But we're not talking about keeping up. I would rather them not score and us score points. How about that?
With the lack of the veterans, tight ends in the game, and the Devin getting dinged up, does that kind of impact your play calling there in the second half, especially on third down?
Yeah, you always got to, you know, whether it's right before the game or during the week of preparation when we're going to miss out on guys on either side of the ball, we have to make sure we have a plan ready to go. And then obviously in game, whether you get injuries, you know, like Lars just mentioned with Buki or whoever it is, that definitely impacts you. What calls can we make where we're putting the right players in position to make plays, whether it's us on defense or us on offense. And so that's part of football, though. That's part of football. That's nothing that we have all these plans in place to make sure we have calls ready, and we know we're not going to go into a game or during a game come out 100% healthy.
Jimmy, was Newton not playing a health related thing Saturday?
So he was definitely banged up. Yes, that's correct. He was banged up, and we had to limit him during practice all week long. He was going to be more of an emergency option for us on Saturday. And so, thankfully, we got out of there with a win and didn't have to put him in harm's way. He'll be good to go this week.
Trent, what's his situation?
Yeah, week to week.
Curious, sort of on that topic, but obviously Trent went down. I think it was during our return, and some coaches don't like to play their best players on special teams to kind of protect them. Some do. Where do you kind of fall philosophically on the idea of whether to play your best players on special teams units or to not do that?
Yeah, we play our best players on special teams. That'll always be the case. He is a threat back there as a returner. We know it affects game planning for our opponents. We're trying to win football games. And our players know this, but the first question we get asked, usually when the NFL scouts come around, they say, does so-and-so play special teams? Special teams is a huge part of the game, and we make a huge emphasis on it. Our players fight to get on special teams, from our starters to our backups. Usually the number one message I get is, coach, how can I get on kickoff? How can I get on punt from everybody on our team? Special teams is an extremely important part of our team.
Three sacks in the last two games. Three sacks in both in the last two games. You had one in the first two games. What have you seen differently that's allowed you guys to get pressure and get sacks?
Yeah, it goes back to, you know, us being able to stop the run and then for our offense to score points. It goes hand in hand. If we can stop the run, our offense is scoring points. That makes our opponent try to throw the football. and then here we go. And that's how you get sacks. That's how you get turnovers. Make it so they can't play conservative.
Cosby has gotten both sacks and back-to-back games. What have you seen specifically from him?
Who? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Vatui. Love the way he's playing right now. He practices at a high level, so you just know that he's gonna excel when the lights come on Saturday. He has a great look in his eye in pregame warmup. He's locked in and focused. Fatui is definitely a player where you can see the growth and development every single week, and even from year to year. He's playing really good football for us right now.
Sean McGrew says he wants to throw out of the Wildcat. Will you ever consider letting him do something like
that? Heck yeah, might happen this week.
Can he throw?
Yes, he can. He can throw. He can spin it. So better be worried about that. And then him diving through. He might hand it. He could throw it. He might hand it, get it thrown back to him, run it. You can print it all. I want our opponent to read all of that. He can do all of it.
Cameron Williams looked like he had both hands pretty taped up. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to play safety with two hands taped up like that and then to make the play at the end of the game?
Yeah, it was such a big-time play. And that's why, you know, my opening comments there talking about grit and perseverance, toughness, being able to deal with pain and have a pain threshold. Cam Williams dealing with this, but again, this is part of football. You're never going to feel 100% healthy, and Cam is not only his hands are hurting, there's other parts of his body that are hurting as well. And for him to go in there in a huge situation and plow his shoulder into the running back and pop that ball loose was just a really good example of showing grit and perseverance. Hopefully we just keep getting him more healthy and more healthy so he can use more of his hands on his right and his left hand. But just an extraordinary tough play by Cam Williams.
What was the most impressive part about Kyler's game for you on Saturday?
Whew, he had some moments now. Obviously the two interceptions, the NFL catch, toe tapping with the two feet in bounds, that fourth down play. That fourth down tackle that he had was very impressive as well. I think last time I was up here, I was talking about how we don't have any cover corners. We have football players at corner, and that showed you right there. We have football players at corner that are willing to go in there, stick their shoulder in there, make tough physical catches, but also fast and quick enough to cover the fastest receivers in college football. Those three plays obviously stand out, but he had some other – you know, awesome plays as well.
You need to recruit him to come back next year?
We don't do that. No, if the information says that he should leave and he can't improve his value, I tell them to leave. Just like I told Byron Murphy, Buda Baker, Taylor Rapp. I said, hey, I'd love to have you, but you need to go. You need to go chase your dream. They're saying you're going to get picked in the top 32. And so with any of our players, if that information says that, they're going to be in the top 32 or, you know, early second, after talking over their families and them, and if the information says they should leave, that's what I'll tell them. If the information says they need to come back and improve their value, then I'm going to tell them that as well.
With your DBs playing such a high level and now your wide receivers kind of ascending to that, what's that competition like in practice?
It was very heavy in training camp. Obviously back to spring football. You know, as the season progresses, it's more scout team now. They don't really face off against each other as much now. Now we're, our receivers are seeing an Oregon State look, and our defense is seeing an Oregon State offense. And so they don't face off against each other that much now as we get into the season part of it. So you'll have to wait for that competition in 2022, spring football.
I'm sorry, but it does help, though, right, to the scout team because you're going against a quality team.
Yeah, we have really good quality young players on both sides of the ball, yeah, that aren't starters right now that are going to end up being starters for us, no question. Yeah, the competition is great, and it'll make everybody better.
With Oregon State and their running back, Baylor, He's obviously had big numbers. What makes him effective, and how is he similar or different from Jamar Jefferson for them last year?
Well, first, what makes him effective is their scheme and their offensive line is blocking really well. They look all in tune. You know, Coach Mihalicek, who I know, he does a fantastic job. And then getting to their runner, I mean, he runs hard. He runs hard. He sees the hole, and he goes. And so he played against us last year, but, of course, you know, they had the Jefferson was the starter. But now, you know, he seems bigger. He's getting more reps at this scheme, and their offensive line is really gelling well together. And so this will be another one where we got to stop the run, or they'll just keep handing it off.
How have you kind of seen that offensive scheme evolve since Jonathan was here?
It's evolved in a very unique way, in a very productive way. You have to give Coach Lindgren also a lot of credit. They have a well-respected offensive staff, of course, starting with Coach Smith. Their scheme has evolved. You can tell they've added a lot of pieces to it. They're putting their players in position to make plays, and they've added a lot of skill and a lot of quality players. You know, at wide receiver and at running back. Their tight ends are bigger now and older, and you can see Smitty's fingerprints all over it. They want to run the football, and then you see the play action off it, and get your eyes in the bad places, and be able to give some easy reads for the quarterback to hit you downfield. They're faster at wide receiver, and this is a big time offense that's scoring almost 45 points a game.
With Chance Nolan, their quarterback, he seems to have the same running ability that you just saw in Garbers. Obviously, he's not the same player, but what's the challenge in containing him and in keeping him in the pocket?
Yeah, very, very similar. This is my first glimpse at him. I was right, you know, when we started watching the tape, and you know, they started off with the transfer from Colorado, from University of Colorado, Nolan. But this young man, he's tall. He can spin it. You can tell he knows where to throw it, and then if it's not there, he can use his legs and run, which we just saw last week is a huge challenge. And the only thing he doesn't have on Garbers is years of playing and years of starting in the Pac-12. So he'll see a different look from us, and we'll have to create a really good plan to keep him from running for first downs and also throwing for first downs.
When it comes to stopping quarterbacks like that can run, we'll take calls from people and say, well, why not just put a spy on him? I mean, it sounds easier said than done. Do coaches do that where they'll literally devote one guy to make sure a quarterback is contained?
Yeah, runner? We do. We'll devote one, we'll devote two. We'll have a rush that's, you know, making sure we're going to push him one way or the other, and we do it all. Yes, so to answer those questions of the fans, there's all that that goes into it. And this quarterback in this week there's definitely going to be some strategy to make sure we keep him contained.
I'm trying to remember the last time two Washington coordinators faced off against each other. I mean, maybe Lambeau and Gilby, I don't know, back in the day did it, but you and Smitty, former coaches here, what's your kind of personal relationship like with Jonathan?
Yeah, well, we faced off each other last year. And then I don't know if you guys know this or not, my first college game I ever coached, he was the starting quarterback for Oregon State when I was at Eastern Washington. That was my first college game I ever coached as a defensive back coach at Eastern Washington. We almost beat him, by the way, Eastern Washington at Oregon State. I think it was 1970, missed a field goal right at the end. That was the year they won the Fiesta Bowl.
How did he play that game?
I don't think he played very well, but Ken Simonton played really well. I think he ran for about 200 and some yards in that game. But I think we held the pass game down pretty well that day. No, Smitty and I are very, very close. He knows what I like. I know what he likes. And so it is definitely a fun competition. And I'm expecting he's going to have an extraordinary plan against us.
Is it going to add to the intrigue for you a little bit, just the flavor of the game?
No, I mean, we know we're facing a quality team that's really well coached, and we have to go on the road, and so that's what we're focused on. You know, as soon as the game starts, it's up to our players on both sides of the ball to carry out the game plans and go out there and block, tackle, catch, throw. And so we just got to make sure that, you know, on our side, our players are ready to go schematically.
Getting Rome back, like people have mentioned, what does Rome give you that's a little bit unique when it comes to your wide receiver core?
You know, it's another weapon in the arsenal that we're able to throw the ball up to. He's fast. He's our tallest receiver, I believe. He can jump. He's competitive. You're going to see him progress again, I think, this week. He's going to have even more opportunities to go make some big splash plays. He adds another talent on the field that our opponent's going to have to worry about.
Nice to watch Byron Murphy's play, two interception game this weekend. I'm assuming you had a chance to see the highlights.
I saw the pick six. We were trading text messages last night. I was congratulating him. I did not see his first interception, but I did see the stats. But I did see the pick six. Does that surprise anybody in here that he had a pick six? No, didn't surprise me either.
Two instances where you or your opponent has made an adjustment at halftime that's kind of caused the second half to be just a lot different. How important is it for you to stick to your game plan versus adjust to maybe the opponent in the second half?
I mean, that's football on both sides of it. If they're not stopping something, we're going to keep coming back to it. If they're stopping something, we have to adjust and make sure we're changing things to get things going. And I'm talking about on both sides of the ball. And so, you know, people say halftime adjustments. We do in-game adjustments. You know, it's what are they doing in the first quarter? They're doing, well, we didn't know they were going to do that. This is the first time they've done this. So we got to get on the sideline and we have to change it and adjust right away. And so adjustments are happening all the time in between drives, in between quarters, halftime, third quarter, fourth quarter. That's football.
Jimmy, did you notice any difference with the students back in the end?
Yes. Oh, yeah. For sure. They added a tremendous amount of juice. Well, we feel that energy. We feel that energy, and we need even more students to come to our next home game. Hopefully everybody is in town now with school here starting on Wednesday. Oh, we definitely felt it. I know our players felt it. They could feel the energy, the juice that the dog pack brings. We want them to be a part of the game. And I know I'm sure our opponent feels that as well, feels that energy going against them.
You've been on the losing end of all 5 coin tosses this year. I mean, is that something that's just kind of a little annoying to you at all, or do you even really realize that?
No, it's a coin toss. I do not realize that. I know I'm going to get the ball at one of the halves, and no, I do not lose any sleep over a coin toss.
How's ZTF doing? ZTF, how's he doing?
He's doing great. He's doing great. On schedule. Still on schedule.
The optimistic
on schedule.
Timeline.
Yes. He will be playing in 2021. Yes, he's on schedule. He's doing great.
Before
2022.
I mean, I know I'm badgering you here, but is that still a late regular season kind of potential for him, or could it be maybe earlier than that with him? Or
could be earlier. He's doing great. He's doing great. So proud of him. His work ethic, his everything, his attitude. Never misses a day of rehab. His body looks great. He is not on schedule. He is before schedule, like I had mentioned in training camp, and he's still on that before schedule mark. Okay.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.